Turn with me this morning to Philippians, the fourth chapter. And jumping off place here. Teddy asked me, when did it become necessary that every man be provided with some health insurance? Ought to have that. She won't know when it become their right. And I could say that it isn't their right. But man has set forth the answer I give her. Man has set forth or set about to do away with the providence of God. And that's surely what has happened. It wasn't any different in the Apostle Paul's day, part of what he is writing here. Back up in the third chapter. In verse 18, he said, "For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." And certainly that is what is going on in our day. So much rebellion, so much trying to, whenever we have some calamity, we're going to fix it when it can't be fixed. Lord told us that it always going to be poor people with us. We're not going to set that right. In any way, by the providence of God, some have money and some don't have it. By the providence of God, some have knowledge and others don't have any. So, it's no new thing that man has tried to do away with the law of God or the laws or the principles that he has set forth always. And that's what this is about. I want to go down to the fourth verse in the fourth chapter. He said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say, rejoice. If these things come up on you, don't think nothing of it. That's the way it's going to be. But rather find joy in it. Rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. We're nearer today than we were yesterday to the Lord coming back. He said, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." This moderation he's talking about is when things happen, we don't just jump up right away and condemn it. Or we don't jump up and get just all bent out of shape about things. I know that sometimes it's hard to hold your peace about some of the things that we see going on all around us every day. But it's not for us to change all those things. But it's unto us to rejoice in knowing that the Lord is always with his people. Where two or three of them met together, there I will be in the midst of them. Not only that, but he's also promised that you come unto me, and I'll not cast you out. I'll be with you, always walk with you. And then verse 6, be careful for nothing. And you know, we use us getting all upset about these things. I know we do. It's our very nature. We're born with that nature to do it. But we're also told to learn not to do some things. And it doesn't do you any good to get all bent out of shape and all tore up over a lot of things. Be quiet. Wait upon salvation, Lord. Say it again. It's rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Now, this is the answer to it. When you're so troubled. What? God's going to do all things well, isn't he? All things work together good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then he said in verse 8, find me, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. We glory. What? In the Lord. All these principles that are set forth, we learn of. No way we're going to have them. Man is changed. In the saving of his soul, he is changed. What? To learn these things. It's not going to just drop out of heaven on you, folks. We are to learn these things. Lord Jesus Christ himself learned of these things. It's an abundant life. That's what this is. The abundant life. It's our vocation to walk in them. I'm talking about the people of God. That's what this book is written to, the people of God. We make that error most often, or it is made most often, that the Bible is written unto all men, and certainly it do them good. But by the providence of God, it's written unto certain people. And it has a certain power unto those people. Under all the rest of them, though, we got to get rid of that thing. Yeah. It you know, it's keeping us back. If it wasn't for those things, we would get it fixed. Really, men do understand that. They have a knowledge of that. They're born with it. That the things of God are providentially sure. And you're not going to turn it around. So why get upset? Verse 9, he said, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but lacked the opportunity. He's talking here about the providence of God. You had a certain care, but you lacked the opportunity right then. But you were ready to do it. Because of these things that you have learned. And another thing I believe he's saying here, you hold these things dear that you have learned and not turn away from that. That was what was the problem here. They were trying to get them to turn from the ways that they had learned. better go back and get some circumcision going on and all those things. Got to do some work with your hands. Verse 11, he said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. There's that learned again, isn't it? I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Well, Lord did it. And man must be at peace with it, or he's going to be a failure. Absolute failure. The more you try to get out of it, the worse it gets. It's just like one of them cinch knots. It just keeps coming down. You can't do it. You can't get out of money. That's the reason people are so upset today. That's the reason people have so much worry and concern about everything. They said the government's going to shut down. I said, so be it. We have to have government. Lord set up a government. And he's the ruler of it. And that's the one that we need to pay attention to, is that government. Not this old government that we've got. It's just absolutely corrupt. But it goes back to the same thing. Let's just set aside the providence of God and do things the way we want to. We'll take it all in and we'll give you all a little bit. We'll take ours and give you yours. Well, I didn't want to get into old politics here, but kind of hard not to when we get to this subject. Providence. In the 2 Thessalonians. We see very similar thing. In 3rd chapter in verse 1, he said, finally, my brethren. Once again, I'm going to tell you what. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Now, I've heard this most of my life, that this free course here means that it ought to go out and save folks. Now, he's not talking about that here. He's talking about edifying the church. He's talking about carrying it to its end. Teach them all these things so that they might learn to carry on until the end. The Lord is at hand. He said, may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. That's what we glory. The Lord in his principle. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith or don't have faith. By the providence of God. Well, we don't look down on those that don't. We would love to see them do. But we know it's of the truth. That's the way it is. It's the providence of God. Not all of them have faith, but the Lord is faithful. who shall establish you and keep you from evil. He delivers, and we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you do. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of waiting for Christ. For he is at hand. But have patience. Don't get all upset about these things that are going on around you. We don't have to worry about those things, really. We do. We sometimes do, often do. Yeah. We often do, too, rely on the Lord and have patience that he's going to do what is right. Into the patience waiting for Christ. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the traditions which he received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. We've done these things for your sake. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any man would not work, neither should he eat. Now this goes right along with this idea that's going on today. We're going to do away with the providence of God, and we're going to fix it all. And they're in their mind, they think love is fixing this. Yeah. Not so. They've completely lost the concept of love. This man don't work, we'll feed him. We just let him lay around loaf and do whatever he wants to do and get into more mischief. Wow. And learn things that he ought not learn. If he isn't going to work, don't feed him. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all. We got them on every street corner now. Now them that are such, we command and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Just be satisfied with what the Lord does. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Now there's love in that. That he might walk in an orderly manner. And go and work and be about his own business quietly, without murmuring, without complaining. Get up and go to work. It's one thing I never had a problem with. I always loved to work. So I never have understood people that don't want to work. But it's pure rebellion. That's all it is. It just happened the Lord give me that grace that I enjoy working. I worked long years, night and day. for a good part of the night. Betty will attest to that. We almost got a divorce about it. Worked too much. But it's good. It's good. Work. Work out your own salvation. Get up and get busy. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. Let the Lord be with you all. And this would be their only hope, that this prayer of Paul would be answered and they'd continue on in brotherly love. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. And thy neighbor as thyself. You don't show him any love when you just try to, you know, carry him along and say, oh, well, here's a little crumb. Now, you know, you don't need to work. You just lay down there and take it easy. We'll take care of you. That's what they're trying to do. The poor are going to always be with us.
I thought about those things this week. You know, why is all this happening? You know, so you ever ask yourself that question? Surely you have, if you're alive. Why is all this happening? And I'm thinking this very week, or this past week, I think, well, it must be to try to teach me a little bit of patience, as we just heard right here. And on the other hand, there is a reason to be concerned. And it is right to be concerned, but, you know, we have a difficult time differentiating between being concerned and questioning God. But there are some things that concern me. Again, with my own soul. But, again, we are to fear God, aren't we? Because it's God that works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. If he doesn't do it, you ain't going to do it. Yep. Fear God and keep his commandments, right? So, but what has this got to do with the gospel? I mean, what does working have to do with the gospel? Well, it has to do with the obedience, doesn't it? For by the sweat of the brow, right? It was decreed by God all the way back to the time of Adam. So, it's there. So, yeah, even before Adam and Eve fell into sin, they were dressers of the garden. And God never intended for us to be idle. And because of all of these things, the old adage, the idle mind is the devil's workshop, is that's where it comes from. But, yeah. Ezekiel 16:49. So, here we go. And yet, how many people today are shunning work and in really they're being taught, at least it's the innuendo, that you should be able to get by without it. But you never will. If you do, it will be because you're a rebel against God. All right, good thoughts this morning. Appreciate those thoughts.